Barb Hoppler. Barb. Barb says she joined the group to jumpstart her biography of her mother. Her purpose was to capture the heroic nature of her mother's life so that succeeding generations of the family might be uplifted by the experience of this amazing woman. Barb has also written glimpses from four generations of family members. Barb Hoppler.
Tonight I departed from family to write about a friend or two, but I changed some names. For years, we college chums have chided Sally about her missed opportunity as a journalist. Missed because she was more curious about the color of a butterfly's wing than a cat with a ripped off ear, but mostly because of her sense of propriety. Of Scandinavian ancestry herself, she told with delight the story of the 16th century Danish nobleman and astronomer Tycho Brahe, who died of a bladder rupture rather than breach etiquette at a banquet by leaving the table to relieve himself. In some way, his tale was to become her story. Her botched chance in journalism has a date and a place. It occurred August 24th, 1970. The place was the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Months earlier, because of the Vietnam protests, the university looked like a war zone. It was not unusual to see police with billy clubs lined at the base of Bascom Hill, while a convoy of Wisconsin National Guard soldiers made its way down Dayton Street towards the stadium. Mobs of students stood in wait for the next encounter, handkerchief scarves hanging around their necks to block tear gas. Now, at the end of summer, with the students gone, the campus was quiet. Just after the sun rose that August 24th, Monday morning, Sally was about to leave for her first day as a reporter on the Janesville newspaper, 44 miles south of Madison. She was still living in her college apartment on Spring Street in the heart of campus, four or five blocks from the Sterling Hall Physics Building. As she was getting in her car, a familiar friend approached. Phil was pale, shaken. There was blood on his shirt just below his pocket protector. 10 years Sally's senior, Phil, was a PhD student from Louisiana. His research, counting protons, needed to be free of electrical interference, so he worked nights in the physics building. Only a couple of researchers worked the dark hours. So every night at about 3 a.m., Phil carried his cup of coffee to the far end of the basement corridor to another lab below the Army Math Research Area to chat with his friend Bob, a fellow researcher. If Phil liked a person, and he did like Bob, he'd gab and gab, usually drawling on too long. Sally knew Phil well enough to realize that he was on his way home from the lab that morning, and the encounter would not likely be short. Guided by etiquette, and at the same time plotting her exit, Phil threw Sally off balance with the news and details of an explosion at the physics building. Just after 3 a.m., the floor under him rose a foot. When he left his lab to investigate, at the end of the hall, the night watchman lay knocked out, face down, in front of the elevator, water rising rapidly around him. "I sat the guy up," Phil said, "and went to check on my friend Bob." To his horror, the Army Math Research end of the building was in rubble. Now he needed Phil stayed at the scene of the bombing until the police got his statement. Now he needed just to talk to someone he could trust. Shaking his head, still in a daze, he kept saying to Sally, "Bob is dead." Then pausing, "A wife and three young children." Sally hated to be rude, but offering her sympathy and promising to telephone him that evening, she got in her car and drove off. At the Jamesville newspaper office on her first day as woman's page editor, Sally's deference to her more experienced colleagues trumped any desire to grandstand. Even after the Sterling Hall bombing crossed the news wires, she never said a word about her dawn conversation. Back in Madison that evening, she made good on her promise to call Phil, but could not reach him. Dodging the three national networks, CBS, NBC, ABC, all wanting to speak with the eyewitness survivor, Phil was not answering his phone.
Thank you, Barb. You know, sometimes we kind of lose sight of the fact that we have all been kind of witnesses to history and the Sterling Hall bombing and the whole Vietnam era is certainly testimony to, and Barb's story sure brings that home to us. Thanks.